I'm not sure about you, but I have some songs that are stuck in my head and rather surprising. I've told you before that I have a terrible memory, whole bits of my life that I have no recollection of whatsoever. But surprisingly, I remember songs, and I was singing one of those in the shower the other day. I don't know why this would be in my mind. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. I learnt it in primary school in the choir, and I can remember all the words. When I was singing in the shower, I followed that up for some reason when I was thinking about this sermon, in fact, with another song that I learnt back in 1978 when I was in a musical at Albion Corps, and I was singing over and over again the line of this song, and it goes, life. Ba 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 ba, life. Ba 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 ba. You can see why the words of that song are somewhat easier to remember, because the next line is life. Ba 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 ba. The fourth line is life. Ba 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 ba. You get the idea. And because I was thinking about life, right? And why, you might ask. We're Bible students. Well, I hope you are, you, those of you who are listening. And as a Bible student, you might ask yourself, what is John's gospel about? If you were to say, what is it that John is really trying to say? What sums up all of his message in his gospel? That would be life. That's what he's talking about. In fact, we know this if you look at John's gospel. If you go to chapter 20, he talks about what he's written. He adds a little other chapter. There's some more stories that follow. But most people think that 20 was actually the original ending, chapter 20. And he talks about what he's written in his gospel. And he says, this was written so that you may believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So there he tells us. And then we think back, because we're Bible students, we think back to all those verses and those ideas that we know in John. We think of all those other clues. It starts in John 1 in the very first chapter, talking about the Word. And he said, in him was life. And in John 6, a very poignant story where so many disciples desert Jesus. And Jesus says to Peter, do you want to desert me as well? And Peter says, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And in John 10, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. The theme of John's gospel is life. And so on Easter Sunday, we celebrate life. We celebrate new life. And therefore, Sunday is a day of deep joy. It's more than mere happiness. Yes, we can delight in a well-cooked hot cross bun or a particularly delicious Easter egg. But it goes deeper than that, doesn't it? Because somehow we know in this Easter story, it's kind of a happy ending. But then again, it's even deeper than that, because really, it's the end of the beginning. It's about this new life, this resurrection life. We might ask, what does John mean by life? Have we understood him correctly? What we know is that John wants us to understand that somehow God has offered us life. Somehow through the resurrection and the power of the resurrection, we are offered life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, we say the answer is always Jesus, and we saw that in the kids' time, didn't we? The answer is always Jesus. But in a way, the answer is always life. What does God want for me? Life. What are Christians on about? Life. What does God want me to do? He wants me to live. Why did Jesus die? Life. Why did he rise again? Life. Life with purpose. Life with hope. Living with meaning in our suffering. A life with power in our struggles. The life of the ages. Life to the full. All right. They all come from John, these ideas. You see, the resurrection tells us, it proves to us that death is no longer the end of all things. Life is the end of all things. And the way we get there to this life, and the truth that gets us there, and that the life at the end of the journey is Jesus. So you might ask again, particularly if you're being grammatically correct, what is this life of which you speak? Well, that great theologian, Mel Gibson, in his theological treatise, Braveheart, said that all men die, but not all men truly live. Particularly powerful moment for those of you who've seen the movie. All men die, but not all men truly live. And there's a wise word there, I think. What does it mean to truly live? What we might call this life to the full that Jesus talks about in John chapter 10. What is it to truly live, to live life to the full? Well, does it mean a perfect life for Christians? Well, I don't think so. At least if that's the case, I've never met a Christian who has a perfect life. Yes, it is true that some people, some families face less hardship than others. And it's true that when we look at the world around us, that sorrow and loss and injustice are not evenly distributed. But the family who's never known any struggles or pain, I've never met them. Does life to the full mean a life of certainty? No. It appears that God has made us in his image, as creatures of memory, mind, and will. And God asks us to use all of that in the way we make our decisions and how we choose to live our lives. I've never met a person who has been absolutely certain of every decision they've ever made and who has never made a mistake. It's not about certainty. Is life to the full an easy life? Is that what it means? Another great Australian theologian, Malcolm Fraser, once said, "Life wasn't meant to be easy." A famous quote for those of you who are as old as me or perhaps a little bit older. The evidence is that God does not make the facts of our life any easier than our neighbours who may not know Jesus. We are not insulated from the challenges of the world. For instance, we are just as at risk of COVID-19 as anybody else. But of course, we walk through the valley of the shadow very differently. Why, we would say? We'd say because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. We've said it and we've sung it. How did that Jesus follower Paul express it? He wrote in one of his letters, "We are hard-pressed, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned. We carry Jesus' death in our body so that his life is revealed in us." The Christian story is about life. We are resurrection people. We're called to life in Christ. We're promised eternal life, life to the full. So we've talked about what it is not, but what is it? What is this life to the full? See, it's the opposite of the life that is empty. I don't know if you've ever felt that your life was empty. Have you met a friend, known someone in your family whose life seemed to them to be empty? What did they say? What did they mean by that? That life has no purpose? That everything is meaningless? That no one loves me? You see, those of us who know Jesus would never say those things. Our lives always have purpose. Our purpose is to live for him, to be like him, to love him more and more. Our lives are not meaningless, ever. The God whose eye is on the sparrow, who knows the number of hairs on our head, yes, I know, he values every aspect of our lives. The smallest details of our lives, God rejoices in. We would never say that no one loves me. We could never say it again. The cross is a demonstration of God's love for us. The resurrection is a demonstration of God's power to offer love to the whole world. We have a new life in Christ. We are alive in him. And coming alive in Christ is not an intellectual decision. It's not just about some decision about who we'll follow. Now, for various reasons we won't go into here, I know lots of people who've moved to Melbourne recently. And one of the things that they do is they decide on an AFL team. Apparently, those south of the border are very committed to AFL. So people make this decision. You know, they say, well, my grandmother's maiden name was Hawthorne, so I'll follow Hawthorne. And they make a decision and they go out and buy the jersey and they buy a membership and away they go. That's not the way Christianity works. It's not an intellectual decision. It's not just a saying yes to God of my choosing and then working out what it means. It's actually something much more powerful than that, something that means a great deal more. You see, when we believe in Jesus, when we trust him, we feel this new life. We feel differently. It's a spiritual reality. Something in our very identity is fundamentally and forever changed. I had the privilege of going to Albertus's funeral this week. And in this strange new world, only 10 people are allowed to attend. But I went as the flag bearer at Albertus's funeral. And I was honoured to do so. I don't know if some of you saw it online, the funeral. But as his grandsons spoke and as his daughter-in-law spoke, you could see how proud they were to bear his name, how proud to have known him. And you could see in his grandsons, because of challenges of travel, it was just his son and daughter-in-law and grandsons that were there. You could see how proud they were to bear his name. That a fundamental part of their identity, their very sense of self, was influenced by their pa who they loved and admired and honoured. And who he was, it became part of who they were. This is something much deeper than just choosing to follow a football team, right? This goes to the deepest part of who we are as human beings, when we know God and we are known by God. And it changes our life. It's a spiritual thing. It's not just about our decision. It changes everything. The resurrection life of Christ is in us. Or better still, we would say that we are now in Christ when we trust him. That was Paul's phrase. All right? We are in Christ, people, through God's power, through the resurrection. In fact, Paul said in one of his letters, I want to know Christ. And the power of his resurrection, his sufferings, being conformed to his death, and somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. This resurrection power that takes hold of you and it takes hold of me. The power of the resurrection that gives us life, new life. It gives us eternal life in Christ. It's a life of faith. That's why Mary cries out, my teacher. That's why Thomas cries out, my Lord and my God, when he touches Jesus' wounds, the wounds of the resurrected Christ. We often say that we want people to come to faith, those we know in our lives, those we love. We want them to come to faith. But what we're really saying is that we want people to come to life. We want them to come to life in Christ. And that belief means that our lives have a different ending because death is defeated. Death is no longer the end of all things. Life is the end of all things. And so we rejoice, we celebrate, we recognize with John that in Jesus was life. And this life is in you and it's in me too. And that's a reason to celebrate indeed. Now, I'm not sure how you're watching this. I'm not sure if you're sitting on your lounge in your tracky dacks with your Uggies on. And if you're at home experiencing church in this new way, one of the great things is that nobody's watching you, right? So let's make a toast. And if you're raising, if you've got a cup of tea, raise your cup of tea, or raise your Easter eggs, or raise your eyes, or raise your heart and say life. And say it with deep gratitude. Why? Because the life of God is all around us and in us. And we can know that life even in a fearful and constrained world. And we want, like Paul, that people will see Christ's life in us because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Let me pray with you. Holy God, we say thank you again for Jesus. We say thank you for the power of the resurrection that changes our world and changes us. May we know new life in our hearts this day. May we live every moment in your life, in you, trusting you, being with you. Lord, be with us, sustain us, keep us as your loved children, I pray. Through your Son's mighty name. Amen. Amen.